Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. For the mu'mineen, for the believers, given us infinite and without any limit, a'mal and deeds. We have the fara'id, we have the compulsory deeds and actions that we implement. We have to do these things and pray and worship. But aside from this, in addition to this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us many a'mal, many deeds. And every deed, every action, every amal is azeem. It is great. And every deed increases the rank in Jannah, increases, makes the closeness to Allah, makes a person closer to Allah, gives a person more for the akhirah, for the hereafter. And whichever amal, whichever deed Allah Ta'ala has given to us, all of the deeds that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, and every amal is within our capability. We are able to do these deeds only because of the fact that we are able to implement these deeds Allah Ta'ala has given them to us. Allah knows that what we can do and what we can't do. It's not the case that Allah Ta'ala has revealed an amal to us which we are unable to do or carry out. No. Every action is there and we are able to do those actions. Now, for us, unfortunately, every amal looks difficult. For a human being, the amal look difficult because shaitan and nafs, the devil and our nafs, our desires, they present all of the deeds to us as difficult, as hard. And the shaitan and nafs do waswasa, whisper into our ears and minds that, oh, this is difficult. How will you carry out this action? It's hard. You can't do it. No. It's too difficult. What will happen afterwards if you can't do it? Oh, just leave this action. It's not necessary. You're doing the fard, the compulsory. That's enough. That's fine. And due to this, the amal is left by that human being, by that person. Then in the hereafter, there will be extreme regret for that person. He will regret, and he will be shocked at that time. What deeds I disregarded, I left to the side. All the rewards I was going to get today in the hereafter, and the levels in paradise, I left the deeds. When that person realizes that this deed was easy to implement, simple to do, how did I leave this action? And we will see, if we experience ourselves, that when you're about to do an action, an amal, the first, the waswasa comes into our mind straight away. No, it's difficult for me to do this. It's hard for me to do this. For example, I'll tell you one amal, which is the initiation for a human being. The start of the process and the journey. And the rank and the status and the darajat that Allah Ta'ala has kept aside for just this deed is so great. And that is tawbah. Tawbah, that the path of suluk that we are traveling upon, the initiation of this path is tawbah. Without tawbah, the car cannot drive. Tawbah is the fuel. And Allah Ta'ala has given great mercy for this action of tawbah that He has given to the ummah. That if prior to passing away, prior to dying, even if a few seconds before a person does tawbah, repents, then Allah Ta'ala forgives that person. But how shocking and surprising that a person's dying, passing away. And I've experienced this, I've seen this. A person doesn't come towards tawbah, repentance. Oh, do dua for me, Allah forgives me. Do dua. But never does the shaitan and nafs alarm, because the shaitan doesn't want that person. He thinks until death, oh, tawbah. Tawbah is too hard for me, it's too hard. And all other amalalis, the tawbah, the shaitan and nafs that put hurdles in front of us. Oh, if I do tawbah, there'll be problems. How will I live my life and smooth and easy? And I will be have restrictions. And how will this happen? And how will I fulfill my requirements in life? But Allah Ta'ala has mentioned the fadail and the virtues. And Allah has stressed so much, Allah is encouraging, come my servant, come to Tawbah. That to this extent Allah Ta'ala reveals Surah Mumtahinna, and in the verses in Surah Mumtahinna, Allah Ta'ala, I'll tell you the methodology. Allah said that go to my Prophet, and Allah Ta'ala addressed the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that the believing women will come to you, and there will be mu'minat, and give them bayah, and give them the pledge of allegiance. And after they attain the pledge of allegiance, then take the promises from them. Just like when a person does tawbah, when a person repents and is remorse, like you ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness when you went to your sheikh and did tawbah. So Allah Ta'ala says that once the bayah is given, then promise that you will leave the wrong actions. And Allah Ta'ala says that when you promise you'll leave the wrong actions, then oh my Nabi, oh Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, do dua for these people. What a great point here that Allah Ta'ala is instructing Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The do dua for those people who've just done tawbah. This is Quran. This is explaining to us tawbah. And then when the Prophet did tawbah, then the person who is doing tawbah does dua. Then Allah says, I am Allah, inna Allah ghafoor raheem. My quality, my greatness is that I forgive, and on top of that, raheem. Allah says, that's my attribute. Then I give reward that you have repented, you've done a good action, you've listened to me, you've done tawbah. Now I'll give you the reward. And what is that reward? That however many sins you committed in the past before you did tawbah, they will all be transformed into good deeds. How long does it take? Go to your Shaykh Hazrat, Allah, assist me in doing tawbah. But if there's a gathering of 1,000, and I say this humble servant, he's been doing this work of the deen for so long, even if there's 1,000 or 2,000 people strong in the majlis, after we speak about tawbah, 3 men will stand up, maybe 4 or 5, not more than that. Even in they will want to do bayah hidden, so that people don't realize, oh, is it a crime they're carrying out? Is this a sin they're carrying out? Or I don't want people to find out I'm doing tawbah, they are sisters or they are brothers. And the men may understand, but the women don't even understand. This verse was revealed for the women. Reveal for them, and such a big chance. When a person dies, then tell me, what will he think at that time? At that time, then the doors for amal will be closed. And who is stopping us? What force stops us? Shaitan and nafs. Why? Oh, these promises I'm making to Allah, I'm repenting, I'm promising Allah, I'll pray Salah, and I will follow Sharia. We make the promises, the Quran has given us the method. How will I fulfill these promises? Oh, it's too hard. Oh, it cannot happen. It's too difficult. And we start thinking these things. So this is ajeeb scenario. So whenever a person does a good deed, shaitan's waswasa will stop him. Shaitan's whispering will stop him. But there's no good deed under the sun that we're incapable of practicing. Because Allah Ta'ala sent all of the deeds because we're capable of practicing. There's a story, a true event in Sahih al-Bukhari, in a hadith, the Holy Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam presented an event. These are not stories, tales, or folk tales, or jackanory. This is the encouragement to us where the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is boosting us. Listen to me, said Rasulullah, and act straight away. Don't waste your time. You're wasting your life. And what beautiful stories and events Rasulullah has told us, to explain to us, to make us understand. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi has narrated this hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said that the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam presented an event to his Sahaba, to his noble companions, that in the previous generation there was a man, maybe from Bani Israel, from some tribe, nation. And this man, he made an intention that I am going to now start doing some work. I've got to do something, tijara, business. There's nothing to eat or drink at home. There's no money. I need to earn. I need to make effort. Nothing was at home. So he made the intention, though, oh, I've got to start working. Without that, there's no success. No money, no food, no bread, no drink, nothing. So after making the intention, he practiced this amal. He carried out, he implemented his intention. So he made intention, then after that, he implemented his plan. In other words, what he thought in his mind, he implemented that practically. What did he do practically? He said, okay, what I'll do is I'll go and get a loan from somebody. Who will give a loan? Who gives a loan to a poor man who's hungry and hasn't got any clothes or food? Does anyone give? Nobody gives. So he went to a city, I'll go to the most richest man. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam. Yes. He said, the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling us this event, not a storybook. This is from the Quran and Hadith. Allahu Akbar. So the man said, the Prophet ﷺ said, that man went to the rich man and said, Assalamu alaikum, why have you come? What do you want? He said, direct. He said, please give me 1,000 dinar. 1,000 dinar of gold. And today that will be so valuable. Imagine today's value. It won't be something small, massive. So imagine the value of that time, 1,000 gold dinars, coins. He said, 1,000? He looked at his face, his body. He said, I don't know you. I don't know you from before. He thought in his mind. He said, but alhamdulillah. He asked him a question. He said, okay, if you want to take 1,000 dinar from me, then who's your witness for your loan? You must have a witness that I can realize that I gave you, making an agreement, a contract, and somebody can witness that you took money from me. So he said, witness, I have no witness. Ha. Kafa billahi shahida. My witness is Allah and nobody else. Aha. Subhanallah. He said, is it? And he said, okay. So you have no witness. There must be somebody who gives security or guarantee that if you don't give the money back, that he will give it. He said, I have no guarantor. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. That my kafil is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my sponsor, my guarantor. Now look at the hadith, the subject. What message do we get from this? Then he made the intention to do tawbah. So if we make intention to do tawbah or any amal, so the lesson we learn from this hadith is first we have the intention that tawbah is a big action and I need to do tawbah. So let me make intention. So if you stall, then shaitan will come, what are you doing? What are you about to do? Don't do this. He knows the benefits. So what did that man do? He implemented that intention. He didn't stop. He did tawbah. He repented. Okay? So he traveled on the path of tawbah. And he didn't know where am I going, what's happening. So what happened then is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sunnati ilahi, the sunnah of Allah, is that when a person makes intention, and then the amal, Allah ta'ala says, I've advised you to do, and you want to do the amal, you want to carry out the amal, and to carry out the amal, you set forth on that path to do the amal, Allah says, then forget it, it's not you who's doing it, it's me who takes over. Waqafa billahi shaheeda. Allah's Nabi says, I'm explaining this hadith. Now who can stop that man? That man, he had nobody who knew him, he went, he traveled to that man. He didn't know about where am I going to get the money from. He reached to that man. He arrived to that man. That man didn't know him, the rich man. And the poor man didn't know the rich man. Who's preparing all of this? Allah is preparing the journey. So Allah Ta'ala softened that man's heart. He prepared the money. Allah prepared the money. Why? Because that man said, okay, Allah Ta'ala opens all of the paths. So if we go to do tawbah and shaitan is stopping us, how will you do this? You'll do this and that. He'll try to destroy us. He'll waste our time. You say, forget it. I'm not worried about you, shaitan. Allah Ta'ala is instilled into my heart this, and there's a chance for me. So straight away stand up. Why? Because it's Allah who is the one who implements. I'm doing tawbah and I will make the promise and Allah will fulfill that promise inshallah. So Allah's Nabi has taught us this in this hadith. The question doesn't arise. If you make an intention, make a strong promise. Strong promise with conviction, with ease and satisfaction. Say, Allah, I'm not going to do this sin. I'm going to leave this sin. And Allah Ta'ala says that when in the Surah Mumtana, Allah Ta'ala said to the believing women, say you will not do shirk and do haram, immodest actions, etc. These all promises. And the woman who stuck to this said, fine. Let's see what happens after. Because I'm not the one who's going to implement physically. Allah Ta'ala has put the feeling of tawbah into my heart. And Allah will physically allow me to implement this. This is the hadith. So beware if a person stops when you're about to do an amal. About to do a deed. You have an intention for hajj. Why are you stopping? You have no money? No worries. Allah will give the money. Have courage. Determination. Start applying for your passport. Here's my passport. Here's the photo. Okay, let's renew the passport. Allah will inshallah help. So say Bismillah with the name of Allah. Start the processes. And then you renew the passport, you get the photo, the passport comes back approved, renewed, and in the heart you have a feeling, you want to do hajj. Allah is the wakil, Allah, this is my intention, I want to do this. And here I remember an event, a story about Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib, there's a little point, we're less time we've got available, but let me communicate, share this with you. Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib's sister, she was the daughter of Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib, great sheikh and scholar. So Hazrat Mufti Taqi's sister and Hazrat Mufti Shafi went to Hajj and he came back and he met his daughter, the sister of Hazrat Mufti Taqi. She was poor and she started to cry. She said, Baba, my father, I feel like I want to do Hajj as well. And he said, have you got the right intention? She said, yes, I've got the right intention. She said, no, your intention is not right. And he was a Mufti, he was a great sheikh, and he was a Khalifa of Hazrat Thanwi, Rahmatullah Alayh. So he said, no, your intention is not clear. She said, no, Baba, my intention is clear. I want to go on Hajj. And Hazrat Mufti Sahib said, no, your intention is not correct. So here, listen to the point. That the person who has a strong niyyah, intention, I want to do tawbah. If you have a strong intention, then definitely the person who has a strong intention, then he or she takes is on the action. Actually, if someone says, I want to do bayah, then have yaqeen. Then if you're not coming towards the action, you're not taking the steps physically, then 100% that person's intention is wrong. Because Allah Ta'ala says, I've made a connection of physical implementation. So the shaykh can try hard, why don't you leave this sin? Why don't, because he didn't intend to leave the sin. I'll have to leave the sin, then I have to do another action, then I have to leave other actions. So the person's niyyah in the beginning was wrong. He didn't have the right niyyah intention, convictions. In hadith, to state this person's a thief with his intention. He didn't make a strong intention. That he's done bayah there, but didn't want to change and improve as a better person. Carry on doing my sins and wrong actions, the things that I'm doing. I'm going to carry on sinning. And they carry on sinning. So with regards to those people, the hadith said, these people are thieves. So Mufti Sahib said that you don't have the intention. And she said, no, my father, I have an intention. He said, oh, you don't have the intention, I'm telling you. It's not correct. So Allah's kitab, according to Allah's kitab, you don't have the intention. She said, why are you saying this? He said, for this reason, you tell me, that have you saved money? Have you prepared? She said, I don't have any money, how can I save? He said that one akanni, at that time you could say it was like 5 pence or 1 pence. He said, could you save this? She said, yes. He said, why didn't you save this? The situation is, if you have intention according to your capability, set forth on that intention. Start implementing that intention. Then Allah Ta'ala sees that this person's pious and he wants to repent. So if you make intention to do tawbah, then definitely tomorrow you'll feel the change that today, from today, I need to start. I'm going to stop backbiting every day. If you say this just enough, this is subhanAllah. How can it be that you won't leave backbiting? For example, I see your charts and there are brothers within you, mashallah, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. I see the charts and I'm so happy. From the first day you make the promise, however much I explain and advise, alhamdulillah, their qualities, and I've seen no sins on their charts. They are from within you. And some people are like this, that their sins, they can't even leave them. They don't stop. They have so many, some people have ticks and others have crosses, sin upon sin. So who can leave the sin? Who? Shaitan, will he allow us to leave the sin? Or sins? Will our desires, my nafs, allow me to leave the sins? Or advise me to leave the sins? So from the hadith, we learn that this person's intention from the beginning was not correct, that I make intention to leave the sins. So how will Allah assist that person? If our intentions were strong, I will not eat haram. I swear by Allah, the question doesn't arise. Allah's Nabi is given a guarantee that you won't leave the sins. How can it be? But you don't want to leave the sin. Who is the one who makes you leave the sin? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, okay, Father, I will put the pennies and I'll start saving the akannis and the shillings. And she started to save, and by chance, she passed away. Mufti Saab said, she was young, his daughter, and she passed away. And when she passed away in her home, and all the things, when they came out of her house, a bag came out. In that bag, from that bag, there were an amount of rupees, 65 rupees came out of the bag. And there was a letter in that, this money I'm saving for Hajj, subhanAllah, say subhanAllah. Now see, according to this hadith, we see, look at the color or the form and the implementation of these, that if a person has courage, determination, makes niyyah, we come to this majlis to encourage each other and speak according to the Quran and hadith, that a person doesn't stop where he is. We're on a journey, a long journey, and the journey doesn't stop where we are. We need to have courage and determination, that if we promise to our shaykh we're going to leave haram, whatever promises we made at the time of tawbah, when we repented, we should review them, renew them, improve them, otherwise I will rise as a thief on the day of judgment. Remember this. So, he said, I went on Hajj. And Hazrat Mufti Sahib said, I went on Hajj. What do I see then? In Arafat, the plain of Arafat, I saw my daughter. From my own eyes, I saw that Jabal al-Rahma. She was running to Jabal al-Rahma. Allahu Akbar. He said, I went into prostration. I dropped into prostration. Why? He said that she had the intention. She was saving the money. And after departing from this world, despite that, Allah Ta'ala allowed her to do the Hajj. Allah, if you do tawbah, I do tawbah. And due to fear of sin, I don't do tawbah, that I can't leave the sins, I can't leave haram, I can't leave unlawful earnings, where will I eat from, why can I do this? For this reason we don't leave the sins. Is this a reason for not leaving the sins? No, brothers, no. Everybody listen clearly. A person who makes intention, firm intention, and you start going with your footsteps, that Allah is my shahid, He's my witness, and He's my wakil, He's my sponsor. SubhanAllah. See the hadith, that's it. Allah's Nabi stated and guided here, that look at the point here, that insan, the human being, it comes into practical implementation. How can it be that I've made tawbah and I don't physically do the tawbah? Allah's given me a chance. I've got to do it. I've got to set forth. So, subhanAllah, then the money. And then he went, so the rich man gave to that man the money. He went across the river to another city. This is the Bukhari hadith now I've come back to. So when that man took the loan, took the 1,000 dinars, he went to another city and he had a good business, because barakah comes. Allah gives barakah and blessings. The things that we are afraid, if I have to do tawbah, I'll have to leave haram and lawful earnings. Allah, if I wear the burqa, this will happen and this will happen, and I will lose this and I'll lose things in the world. We were scared. The sister or the brother, they are afraid. But when that person has courage and determination and starts to do the action, then in the business of that person come barakah. So in the same way, after doing tawbah, in their lives come barakah, comes blessings and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It happens. We are scared. Allah ta'ala says, I will instill the barakah. And his business flourished and prospered. Then he remembered that time. Oh, this day, that day has come now. This day I promised that I will repay, that I took Allah as the witness and my wakil, I have to repay that loan of 1,000 dinars. So he stopped his business and he went on that journey towards that man. And he said, today I'll go and give the money back to that person I took the loan from, that I have to fulfill my promise. So when he came to the river, subhanAllah, and he saw that he came to the river, there was no ship, no boat, no canoe, no ship. And he thought, oh, today I've promised that I've got to give the money back. I've got to go to that city. I've got to cross this river. What shall I do? What did he do then? The person who he made the witness, the wakil, he went towards The wakil and the kafil. So this is a point, another point here, that when we get stuck, if we do tawbah, we have repent, and we don't have the determination to follow sunnah, to wear the imamah, to keep the beard, to imitate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we've done tawbah, then what should we do? That Allah ta'ala desire, Allah ta'ala, I want to do this, and I have firm intention, but weakness is coming to me. So that person should run to Allah and ask, Allah, open my heart. Allah, shaitan is trying to influence me, he's trying to overwhelm me, influence me. So then that person, the brother, sister, runs to Allah. So he ran to Allah. So isn't this all coming from the deen here, from this hadith? The tasawwuf is coming. Allahu Akbar. So he said, Allah, you know that you are my witness, and you are the shahid, and you are my kafil, and the situation is today I have to repay this loan, and you are the witness, and you are my wakil, and now Allah, tell me, what shall I do? How do I get to that city? How do I cross the river? I can't understand, the time is passing and there's no boat here. How do I cross? Suddenly Allah Ta'ala inserted a feeling into his heart. That there were some trees, there were branches of the tree. So he took the branch, Allah Ta'ala gave him the guidance, that do this. Allah inspired him. So the branch, he made a hole in that branch, and he put 1,000 dinars into the hole, and he sealed it. And he sealed it up, and then he left it into the river. He left it, the branch. Allah, now you are the witness, I have given his money back to him. Subhanallah. Now what happens? That the other man, look how Allah Ta'ala prepared him, who had to take the money. He was sitting, oh, let's wander around today, go for a walk. Subhanallah. So for walking, he goes to the bank of the river. Bukhari hadith, and who is explaining this? The Imam al-Anbiya, the head of the Prophets, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Such great story. Then he said, he came to the bank of the river, Allah Ta'ala inserted into his heart, so he came to the bank of the river. When he came to the bank of the river, then he saw that the branch, mashallah, that's floating across the river. And he came to the bank of the other side of the river. He said, oh, this looks very nice. And Allah Ta'ala instilled love into the heart for that branch. Allah Ta'ala creates this surrounding and environment. If a man says today, oh, he's a waste, he's got nothing to his life, those same people who used to laugh at him. But when Allah Ta'ala wanted to deliver faith from that person, those same people who swear at him, they come and bow at that person. So much love do they put into the heart for that sheikh, that that person will give his all for the sheikh, for the teacher. So the Holy Prophet, did this not happen with him? Those same people who cursed Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who committed oppression with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they ridiculed him, especially Hinda. But when she came in front, she said, today there's no one more than you who's beloved to me in my eyes. So in the same way, the love of the Shaykh, Allah Ta'ala instills into the heart of the student. It's the same sabab, the same means. So much ishq does a person, a student, have with his Shaykh, that the fares starts to come to the student, the blessings and the mercy. This is Allah Ta'ala sunnah, that how Allah Ta'ala instills into the heart, Allah replaces the enmity with love. The same muqam, wife, children, father, parents, the sheikh becomes more beloved than everybody. Why? What love is there? Now, you know, I love my sheikh so much. So straight away we get the dalil, the proof that this person has got love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because this is not love for the human being, the sheikh, that you leave everything, you start to diminish or reduce the love for your relations and relatives, that you give more importance to the sheikh and to the teacher. This is hadith that Allah ta'ala says, that if you don't love my mahbubs, my beloved, more than other things, then you cannot have Iman Kamil, complete Iman. So this is the aqs, the reflection of the Shaykh's face. This is tasawwuf, don't give me a fatwa, please. So when this love comes into the heart of the student, that he loves the Shaykh more than anything, and he listens to his sayings, his statements, looks at the practice of the Shaykh, and that is the most important. For example, if the Shaykh says, come here today, the whole dunya is stopping you, you said, no, it cannot be, I have to go there. The proof of my love is my Shaykh said, go, I'm going on a journey and I will go to see my Shaykh. Doesn't matter what happens, people that travel miles and miles barefoot on their feet, what love is this? Is the love for Allah in reality, not for the human being, not for the sheikh. It's reality. The reality is Allah's love. So this becomes a proof that indeed Allah Ta'ala's love has come into the heart of the person when he has extreme love for his sheikh. Anyway, going back to example. So the man came to the river, the bank of the river, the man who gave the loan, and he stopped wandering around walking, and he took that branch and he started stroking it, looking, oh, nice branch, I need to take this home, this log. And he, subhanAllah, he took it home. Then he saw, oh, let's see, let's make something out of this log, let's cut it. When he was about to cut it, then the same day the loan had to be paid, that same time 1,000 dinars came out. Subhanallah. He thought, I don't understand this, what's this? That man promised to me today. He stayed quiet. Then what happened? What did Allah Ta'ala do? By chance, when everything happened, then the next day Allah Ta'ala prepared the boat for the man who took the loan. And he was a bit desperate. I need to go to the man. I don't know. Has he got the money? Has he received it? So he took the boat and he went quickly. He traveled. Ah, subhanAllah. So every point, if I explain each point in this hadith, we don't have time. But the whole meaning definition of tasawwuf, our holy prophet, our Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam has sealed. People say, what's tasawwuf? Suluk. If I start to explain the points that are coming to my heart, then we need a lot of time, many hours. But just concisely today, I want to explain these few points today. That Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when due to his amal, he gives a ni'mah. He gives a ni'mah to a person due to the amal. So when we get the ability to do that amal, that action, then Allah Ta'ala puts a lot of power and strength into that action. Allah says, don't stop due to any waswas of shaitan nafs. It's me, Allah says, who will help you. And you can overcome all the obstacles and hurdles. Just have courage, determination, put your hand out and say, I'm going to do this. So the man, he took the boat and he said, Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum. He said, I'm sad that he didn't make it apparent that I sent the money like this. He said, I've come late. And I tried to come yesterday, but the day I got the boat the next day. So here are 1,000 dinar for you. He didn't ask that I sent it to you before. And he started laughing. He said, you're giving it to me now? He said that your witness gave me the money the day before. Allahu Akbar. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. If only we were able to get such a tawbah. If we have yaqeen, conviction that we have Allah, our Rabb, that He knows our halat, our conditions, our situation. Allah is the one who allowed us to tawbah. Allah is the one who made us promise that don't do haram, don't go towards haram and awful things, don't do bad actions. Why do you go back? Why do we go back from the wrong things, my friends? So let's do dua to Allah, that Allah gives us the courage, determination, that whenever there's a good deed, especially remember those people I speak to who have already done tawbah, or they feel like they want to do tawbah, they should come running across the majlis and say, Hazrat, let us do tawbah. Let's not stop. Allah is our witness. Allah will assist. And those who've done tawbah already, then remember, who did you promise to? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not to the sheikh, not to your teacher, to Allah on the tomorrow, on the day of judgment. Don't be lost. Don't lose out. Don't lose out. This is not a game. This is not a play act. There will be great rewards. Listen to me carefully what I'm saying. That if we think that we're going to leave the deen, it's too hard for us, it's hard for me to do it, that's the biggest loss in this world and thereafter. And there's a bigger loss that you are such an insane human being that you didn't trust your Rabb, your Lord, Allah, your Creator, that you wanted to promise to Allah to become a better human being, and you were scared and afraid that what will happen after that. And secondly, if you do tawbah, repent, and after that you don't fulfill the promises, both will stand as criminals. A, those people who say, no, I'm not going to do tawbah, I'll be saved, I won't have to fulfill any promises. Oh, it's okay, I don't need to do tawbah. He said, I can't do these actions because I haven't done tawbah. That man and that woman, that brother and sister, will be the extreme loss they will be in on the day of judgment. Allah has given us reward, inam, that we are able to do tawbah, and we leave the world without doing tawbah. Allah says, tawbah is such a great condition that you can do so many sins and do tawbah that you will be washed. And you will leave this world as a white sheet. So brothers, we have to look at both situations. We are still living. Maybe tomorrow not, we won't be. So let's make intention today that wherever we are weak, we should stand firm. Stand firm. That Allah, we promise to you that we want to fulfill the promise to you. See how much loss then comes to us. See how much that world, how much people will laugh at us. For example, how much people will criticize or jest against us or mock us. That Allah Ta'ala says, the answer will come in your heart. That my servant, this is why I'm going to give you maqam. That you do tawbah for me. You improve as a person for me. And due to me, Allah says, that you will take the criticism from dunya, swearing and ridicule and mocking. That's why, because you had to take the negative feedback from your relatives, from people in the dunya. Allah says, he's watch that if a person criticizes you once, the angels will come and they will bestow you with the faith and the blessings. Allah says, for my sake, if you take the stones or the ridicule or the swearing or people mocking and laughing against you and rubbing your name in the dirt, in the dust, for the sake of the dunya, Allah says that if you bear this with patience, then see in my name, if you bear with patience, what the ajr I will give to you. So should we stop amal? Totally not. Let the swears come, or the joking come, or the mocking come, or the jesting come. In this day and age, fine, we can be ridiculed and loud, but Allah Ta'ala, our Mawla, is with us. The status is increasing. The angels are giving the barakat, the faith. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is happy with us. So my brothers, let's not be lazy. Let's understand the maqsad, the objective of life. I'm speaking to myself. Brother, I'm worse than you. I am not explaining to you. I'm explaining to myself that I also promised to Allah, and I promised by my sheikh, and I should also try and make effort to fulfill my pledge and my promise, and you should also try. And both, we are, the paths are there, sealed. If we don't follow the path, if we don't do tawbah because we think it's hard, we'll be grabbed even then, and we'll be punished even then. I'll say, it was hard, you didn't believe in me, you didn't trust me. And if we've already done tawbah and we don't fulfill our pledge and our promise, even then they will be stuck in their raft. Allah says, you made a promise and you didn't fulfill that pledge, you didn't try to leave the sin, and you didn't have a strong conviction, you were lying, it was dishonesty. In the hadith is stated that person will rise as a thief in the hereafter. Thief, that they came, after coming they were bayah, did tawbah, and the sins are in the same place. Allah will say that you were a thief, you stole and you did not have an intention, you were doing fraud with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyway, may Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and the ajr. MashaAllah, we should be strong, have determination and stand with determination. Why? Because we don't have a small... Allah says, نِعْمَ الْمَوْلَى وَنِعْمَ النَّصِيرَ Allah's nusra. Allah, how many times we recite the kalima from one team? حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ نِعْمَ الْمَوْلَى وَنِعْمَ النَّصِيرَ We say this and then we are scared, afraid to implement this. No, beware, never do this. May Allah give us the tawfiq. Ameen.